Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
To any out there who feel like Shrek should never have been made into a musical because it's a film, or it was just like some, you know, corporate opportunistic decision, I
you're
just
wrong.
Want to remind everyone, you're wrong, number one, and how dare you, but also a reminder that this story started out as like a storybook, as a children's book in 1990. By a writer and cartoonist named William Steig. I don't remember how to pronounce his name. I apologize, but it's loosely based on this story, and it's called Shrek! Exclamation point. Now you cannot tell me that a source material that ends with an exclamation point should not automatically be turned into a musical. Am I right? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Welcome, everybody, to a musical theater podcast where we discuss the cultural and emotional impact of some of our favorite musicals in theater history. My name is Jeffrey Scott Parsons. You can call me Jeff. Today, we are discussing Shrek the Musical, which was a listener request from both Casey and Marty, both of whom, by the way, could have been great guests on the episode because I love their takes. Marty said it's unironically her favorite musical. And Casey has maybe my favorite review of this musical ever. Quote, "This show has absolutely no right being as good as it is," unquote.
I agree with that. I agree. Totally.
That's fantastic. Joining me to discuss this musical is one of my favorite kinds of people, and that is someone whose love for the musical theater is pure. I'm talking pure as any fairy tale type love. He's the host of Backstage Talk, which is the first, correct me if I'm wrong, Martine, the first musical theater podcast to be bilingual. True.
Yes. Like there have been other podcasts that are not running anymore that were solely in Spanish. The Broadway Podcast Network is the major one-stop shop for podcasts about theater or Broadway or musical theater in English. But Backstage Talk
you
makes
better
both.
Get that BPN commercial in there, Martin. Good job.
But yeah, Backstage Talk offers content in both languages. So we are...
That's fantastic.
Yeah, as of right now, we're the only one doing that. And we are like the only recurring podcast in Spanish about musical theater. So yeah, that's
incredible.
Us.
In any case, he's from Bogota, Colombia, where he currently is, and where you're also an artist and a communications pro. Anyway, everyone... Please give a big bienvenido a Martin Acuña.
Yay! I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Pues gracias por estar conmigo hoy. I knew I wanted you to be on a musical theater podcast at some point. And what I ended up learning about you is that like there isn't like a whole lot of musical theater in Colombia. And so your way into the art form was by coming in contact with like big mega shows, Lion King, yeah, that are meant to engage young children. So because of that, Shrek felt like a good match, right?
Yeah, absolutely. What goes on in most countries of Latin America in regards of musical theater is not in like completely, but in its majority, it's seen as something for children. So we, specifically in Colombia, we do have one single company that has been working for the last 20, 30 years in bringing the musical theater art into the country. But it stays with some shows that may be seen as for children, right? Things like SpongeBob or Shrek, or maybe Disney. Mm-hmm. They've brought here a version of Aladdin. They brought, right before the pandemic, I think it was 2018, 2019, they brought Beauty and the Beast. And there is also other small companies that have emerged since the late 2010s all the way through today in 2023 that are working and exploring musical theater from the traditional Colombian sound. So
love that.
Yeah, it's a really good mix because Colombia is full of different sounds, musical sounds, and a lot of culture. So they are using that to leverage the musical theater art form in the country. So it's been great.
Well, can you call Shakira and be like, girl, get on it. We need a Colombian musical.
Honestly, I would love a jukebox musical with Shakira's music. Honestly.
Come on.
It would be amazing. Oh,
I'm obsessed with her. First, when I learned Spanish, like Shakira was the first artist I found, like the first musical artist. And so you better believe like Estoy Aquí is something that I sat down with and tried to memorize. Yeah. Like Entre no te para bien, like that whole like little section. Yeah. I was like, if I can get this.
Yeah, then you're going to nail the language if you have that.
Then I know. Ridiculous.
I love it.
That's really cool. So talk to me about, I know your first show that you saw in New York was Lion King, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
But have you seen Shrek on stage?
No, actually, I've only seen the pro shot, which I am grateful for because accessibility.
It's a great pro shot, by the way.
And it's a great pro shot. Plus, it's a really good show. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You're down and you're just going to play it because it's happy. Pink Ponies, Happy Skies. Right? So that can summarize my whole experience with Shrek.
Well, so and I am so bad, listeners. I've been meaning to apologize for this forever. Like, I'm so bad at trigger warnings. And we talk about like some pretty heavy shows with serious content. And I always think that like, you know, if we're talking about Next to Normal, you know, we're going to be talking about mental health and stuff like that. But forgive me, I'm really bad at giving trigger warnings. However, I am going to give a trigger warning to Shrek, and for me only, because I have a little bit of a trigger with this show. I did Shrek Jr.
Okay,
with a children's camp. And it was the most dramatic experience I've ever had in my professional career. And yet I still like the show. But as I was going through it, all of these little moments kept coming up like, oh my gosh, trigger, trigger, trigger.
But wait a minute.
Of that stupid freaking children's camp where all they're going to do is perform for their parents. Like they might as well use the think system and they're going to get a standing ovation. Why was this so traumatic for me?
But wait a minute. Which character were you? Were you ensemble?
I wasn't even in it. I was musically directing and choreographing.
Okay.
I was just having him like march in a circle during things. Are looking up here into lock and truly
and
like it sent shivers down my spine, Martine.
I
anyway.
Yeah, I truly cannot imagine that. But
it's okay. It's okay. And the children were amazing, by the way. I love them, and they like they had the time of their lives. So who am I? What do my feelings matter? that being said, it is a really great show. And I tried as often as I could to remind the adults who were working on that production with me that we're talking about a musical written by two Pulitzer Prize winning writers.
Yeah.
Okay. So like, we're not better than this show.
Never. Ever. Absolutely never.
Never, never. But before we get there, we need to talk about like Shrek as like a intellectual property in general. Did you grow up with the movie?
Absolutely.
Did you like it? Did you love it? Okay, because I'm not sure. You look gorgeous, but I can't tell how old you are.
Well, I'm 28, turning 29 in May this year.
That's awesome. Yes.
But I did grow up with this movie, and like Shrek 1 and 2 are good. The third one, it starts lacking. The fourth one, I'm like, wait, is this still going?
What is even happening?
Yeah, what is even happening? And then out of the blue, we have Merlin and King Arthur. And I'm just like, what? I don't get it. But the Puss in Boots movies, they're good. Like, I saw the second one last week.
I heard that this newest one is actually pretty decent. I will never watch it. But I hear it's pretty good.
But going back to your original question, I did grow up watching these movies. Fortunately for me, unfortunately to you and American listeners, the Spanish version is way better than the English version. Let me tell you, Donkey.
Look, I am not usually a nationalistic person, but I feel a little bit like, don't come for my English version.
Like, okay, Will Smith is amazing. I'm not going to say otherwise, but...
Wait, Will Smith, you mean Eddie Murphy?
Oh, that hurt me. Eddie Murphy is amazing. Sorry, listeners, and sorry to the fans, but Eddie Murphy is amazing. He is incredible. Yeah. But the donkey in Spanish, it's iconic. Iconic. Oh. Like, the jokes translated into Spanish are top-notch. Top-notch content. Trust me.
I love that so much.
You need to see it because it's so Latin, fantastic. And I love it.
It's like, how is this not like a Latin American thing first?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's so cool. Yeah. How fun. Okay, definitely have to check that out then. I saw Shrek 2 before Shrek 1.
Really?
If I'm being totally honest. Yeah.
Why?
Because that's how I am. Look, Disney purist over here. Grew up on Disney, very suspicious of anything that's not Disney.
Okay.
That's just how I was raised. Yeah. And so I definitely did not see, especially since Shrek seemed to be like the anti-Disney. I was like, no thanks.
No way.
Right? No. Yeah. Mahalo and goodbye. So when Shrek 2 came around, I think a lot of friends were all going to go see it in the movie theaters. And I have to say that my experience watching Shrek 2 in a sold out movie theater was probably the first time that I really understood the power of movies.
Okay.
Because everybody had such a slamming time, and the soundtrack to Shrek 2 is off the charts. Like, that version of Holding Out for a Hero that Jennifer Saunders sings totally slaps. We had so much fun, and I left the theater feeling like a million freaking bucks. So I've since gone back and watched Shrek 2, and I don't think I will ever like it as much as I had liked it that first time, but it really was a transformational experience. It was so much fun.
I agree. Shrek 2 is good.
Now, Shrek 1, however, is a fantastic movie, and I've since gone back, and it is quite good. I do have some thoughts about it.
Okay.
So to get to those, let's go back in time even further and talk about Jeffrey Katzenberg. So Jeffrey Katzenberg was in charge of Walt Disney Animation during the Disney Renaissance, kind of the early 90s, right? Love him or hate him, he's a pretty important guy in culture. But during his time at Walt Disney, he's known infamously for rubbing everybody the wrong way. He tried to cut Part of Your World from The Little Mermaid. He was convinced Pocahontas was like the project and he couldn't have cared less about The Lion King.
And what did turn out happening?
Exactly. But at the same time, he was also incredibly savvy and one of the reasons for that like huge string of incredible successes. The president of the Walt Disney Company, Frank Wells, dies tragically in a helicopter accident. Mm-hmm. And Jeffrey Katzenberg, from what I understand, and this is hearsay, who am I? I don't even know these people. But from what I understand, he thought he was going to be named the new president of the Walt Disney Company. He gets passed over. He does not get chosen. And so he, for all intents and purposes, feels that he is forced to resign. So he leaves Disney. And not only does he leave, but he leaves and starts this brand new film studio with none other than freaking Steven Spielberg and David Geffen, and they call it DreamWorks. Right. DreamWorks is this new company. It's going to be the biggest thing. But the most enduring legacy of DreamWorks has been the animation department that he oversaw. And the film Shrek really came out of this studio with the intention of Katzenberg giving Disney the middle finger. So from the get-go, whenever I see Shrek, I just feel the intention of Katzenberg being like, I'm going to show you, Disney, you're not the only ones who can do this. And I mean, he was right. Shrek became a huge hit, ended up winning the first Oscar for Best Animated Feature over Pixar and Disney.
But I think that before Shrek, DreamWorks had a couple of...
It had Prince of Egypt, which was huge.
Yeah, yeah. It exactly. That was where I was going to. But it had a very early flop with Ants, which is exactly a copy of Bugs.
A Bug's Life. Yeah. I know that came out right at the same time. Talk about zeitgeist. You know what I mean?
And the Ants movie, it's just like painful to watch because the animations are so like sharp and squared. Meanwhile, they're not friendly animations. And then they have Prince of Egypt, in which it's still a very squared animation, but... It has songs. Like, we have Hans Zimmer and Stephen Schwartz working together.
So you're saying, like, the DreamWorks animation felt very angular and kind of unappealing.
Until, like, Chicken Run, which is amazing.
Chicken Run was great.
Yeah, Chicken Run is great. Because if you see Ants, Prince of Egypt, and The Road to El Dorado, they are, like, very squared. Right? They're not curvy, they're not soft, they're very angular. But then you have Chicken Run, and then you have Joseph King of Dreams, which I do not recall at all. And this was November 7th.
That was more of a straight to video type situation. Yeah.
And then you have Shrek, which is May of 2001, right? Mm. And after that, I think.
Oh, that's the reason why I didn't see it. May 2001, I was on my mission for my church, so I didn't see anything.
Yeah,
there you go.
And then from then, like after Shrek, you have a lot of other movies which are more amicable to the eye. You have Spirit, you have Sinbad, you have Shrek 2. And then
oh
you
my
have
gosh,
the rest,
just the like, love of every 11-year-old girl.
Yeah, absolutely. Until you have all the way into the 2010s, you have Kung Fu Panda, which another great franchise. And then you have How to Train Your Dragon, which...
Oh my gosh, maybe one of the best franchises of all time.
Exactly. It's a really good franchise, not my favorite, because I'm also a Disney kid. And if I had to choose between like Shrek, Kung Fu Panda, and How to Train Your Dragon, Kung Fu Panda is my guy. Like Poe is
really?
My guy. Yeah. Even though loving
I love it.
Shrek.
Yeah. No, I get that. I get that. I'm loving this conversation. It's just like full of nostalgia for me.
The throwbacks.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Now, if we're zooming in a little bit more culturally, and actually now I'm going to talk more about the kiddos that I work with. I feel like growing up, I, I knew that there was a time when in childhood when like you were all of a sudden aware of what other people thought of you and it was time to be like cool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like all of a sudden, and this is when like people start thinking musical theater is nerdy or stupid, yeah, is because like all of a sudden it requires too much of you to invest. Mm-hmm. And so then you're like, can't go there, won't look cool, people will make fun of me. I used to think that that happened around the fourth, fifth grade area of elementary school. And if you were able to like get through fifth grade still loving musicals, like you're good to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, you will be a fan for life. Working with some children over the past couple of years, that has now gone down to second or third grade.
That's pretty young and pretty savage.
Yes, it's incredibly young and very savage. If I'm working with like kindergartners, first graders, they're still like fully imagination. Yes, let's play, fun. And then like the second and third graders will come in, and within that group, there will be people saying things like, oh, that's so cringy. Oh, like that's so sus, which is like the new thing, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, whoa, this is already happening in second and third grade, this self-awareness. Yeah. And might I say, like, judgment masked as self-awareness. And sometimes I feel like that's Shrek's fault.
Why?
I know. It might be a big ask. But I feel like around the time that Shrek came out, all of a sudden, like, fairy tales weren't fairy tales anymore. Mm-hmm. Disney wasn't Disney anymore. Like, we had to put on this lens of judgment and cynicism in order for it to be even palatable to children anymore. And that has only continued. And Disney is incredibly guilty of this as well. I watch Disney Channel shows with my, Disney Plus shows with my nieces and nephews. And the comedy that they do is very like, fold your arms and give like a judgmental look. Like, yeah. that is very much the comedy. So they are not without blame. But I say it kiddingly that it's Shrek's fault, and I know it's not, but it is this match for where we are in the culture at the time, mm-hmm, that things just become getting jaded at a younger age. And that's how I feel about that. Do you know what I mean, though? Like, yeah, we have an entire generation who grows up thinking, like, Pinocchio wears thongs, which is very different than a generation that thinks like Pinocchio just wants to be a real boy and exactly is earnest, yeah, about it. You, yeah, know, and I'm not saying one is better than the other. I'm just saying it's very different. And this feels like it's at the pivot point.
I absolutely agree with you. I don't know if it's Shrek's fault, but I do agree.
No,
that,
it's definitely, yeah, not. But Shrek's also like one earned billions of dollars. So I'm more, yeah, than happy to give it the blame.
Yeah, but I do agree that first, these new generations or the new generations are all like judgy thanks to a lot of media. I was,
yeah,
fortunate.
It's,
enough,
it's not their fault.
Yeah, it's not their fault, but it's the media they grew up with. It's the media they were, yeah, consuming. For example, for me, Shrek, both movie, the franchise, the whole franchise, and the musical is about belonging.
I think it is about belonging. I totally agree with you. And I think that that is what gives the story staying power.
Yeah.
And what I love about the musical, because now we can pivot into the musical, is that it only enriches those inner lives, insecurities, and vulnerabilities that are certainly in the films, but it brings it to a whole other level.
Yeah.
And so in many ways, I appreciate the characters even more in the musical because of what they're able to share, yeah, and communicate. And it balances out some of that cynicism for me.
Absolutely. And I do remember in the first movie, if they tell us that backstory with which the musical starts.
The once upon a time sort of thing.
Yeah. But the part of, and spoilers, sorry for this, but if you haven't seen Shrek
no,
the
we'll
Musical,
go through it all.
That beginning part of Shrek and his parents, and at the age of 7, kicking him out of their home
the swamp.
For him, yeah, yeah, of the swamp, for him to go and find his own, Mm-hmm. I don't remember if that part is in the first movie, but I do appreciate they give me that because that sets my whole story in the musical. And that makes mm-hmm. a whole lot of sense when we see the character development in Shrek. And we see the other character developments in the donkey, in Fiona, in the rest of the fairy tale characters, right? Mm-hmm. This song, this amazing song that the whole ensemble sing when they are moved out of Duloc into the swamp.
Yeah.
They all just want to belong, right? Mm-hmm. And that is the constant theme in this musical. Everyone wants to belong to something. And it certainly happened to me. I know it probably happened to you and to every other person that loves musical theater. We found that here we belong. In musical theater we belonged. It certainly didn't happen while I was in high school. Like, I was the black sheep in my school. I grew up in an all-males Catholic high school. And I always had a lot of questions. And their leitmotif was the best of the best. So trust me, I grew up with a lot of judgy teenagers.
Sure.
That either they wanted to be soccer players or have a lot of money. And I didn't want to be both. I didn't want to be either of those. I wanted to be an artist. Right? So I was always like trying to push the boundaries growing up. In high school. And that's why I love that Shrek in its entirety. It's about belonging to someone, to somewhere, to a group of people, or to a place.
To yourself, even.
Yeah, exactly. Most importantly, to yourself.
Yeah, I love that. That's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that.
Oh,
I really want to dive into the show because this is so fun. And I'm sure that other things will come up as we talk about it. But sure. Like you said, the show begins with this prologue where we meet Shrek and his parents, where they sing an entire song to him about what to expect in the world. It's called Big, Bright, Beautiful World. Mm-hmm. Every song in this show is just so hummable and wonderful. And Janine Tesori continues to be the most
multifaceted, incredible queen of musical theater.
It's insane. Like, she can do anything. Yeah. When you think that, like, she Thoroughly Modern Millie, to Caroline or Change, to Fun Home, to Shrek,
to Violet,
Kimberly Akimbo, to Violet. Like, truly, this woman is just amazing.
Yeah.
And it's all over the place here. So, Big, Bright, Beautiful World, gorgeous song. And immediately, what pops out to me is that I feel like the thesis about this musical are, what are the stories we tell our children?
Ooh, that's deep. Because, yes.
Truly.
Yeah.
And we run into it consistently throughout the story. What are the stories we tell ourselves? Where do they come from? And when do we decide that we get to write our own story?
Yeah. When is it enough of other people writing our own story?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so Shrek is told from the get-go, you're ugly, son,
yeah.
Which means that life is harder, right? People cannot change people cannot face the things they don't understand. Anyway, something like that. David Lindsay Abaire, doing great work. But it's all about him, this indoctrination. He's told, you're going out into this world. It's beautiful, but not for you.
Yeah.
People are going to chase you around with pitchforks. And sorry, but like, that's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, when Shrek grows up and becomes Brian D'Arcy James, the first thing that he says is, this is my big, bright, beautiful world.
Yeah.
It's all by myself. I don't need to worry about any of these outside forces that I've been told all my life will bring me nothing but pain and fear.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to be in the swamp, making myself as disgusting as possible to make sure that that's the way it stays.
Yeah. Which is a really good lesson for all of us. We cannot do things siloed. Right? We always need community. So that is, and like threading this back to the belonging, that is also something that happens with Donkey's first song, which is Don't Let Me Go. And he is like, I'm going to be here for you. And like all this tale of friendship and song about friendship and being there and support.
Absolutely.
Then, yeah, that then transforms Shrek's point of view on, yeah, it's a big, bright, beautiful world that I can still co-create by being with someone else, right?
Yeah, well, and how often... how often are we our own self-fulfilling prophecy?
Yeah.
We create this world of limitations to make sure that we don't excel beyond them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think we all do that. Like, this is really based in some pretty profound psychology, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, what... I'm a person that I do really enjoy my alone time.
Oh, for sure.
So I do a lot of things by myself, right? And for myself, on my own, absolutely on my own.
Got and it's a little funny eponine because, on our hands here.
Yeah. And it absolutely makes sense to sometimes it's a need, but it cannot be forever. I do think that.
There it is.
And, yeah. And I think I like that it. Is one of the biggest lessons for Shrek. He thought he could live alone in his swamp for the rest of his life. But, oh, surprise, no. A bunch of fairy tale characters are going to knock on your door. And because you're this ugly, scary thing, they're going to need your help. We would have to ask the writers and everyone to see if Shrek's deepest desire was to have a family or was to have company. But I do think that he learned... that he couldn't do things on his own for forever.
Yeah. And I think that it was about learning how much of his story was just given to him by his parents in those first few minutes of the show.
Exactly. And not
how much of his
himself.
Story is what he actually wanted. Because the next, like you mentioned, the next group of people that we meet are these fairy tale creatures who've been kicked out of Duloc under the grounds that they are freaks, right? That they don't belong into this in this kingdom. Yeah. And therefore, they need to go be banished in the swamp so that the kingdom can be perfect. So they show up, and their song, Story of My Life, is yet another example of this is my story that I'm living over and over again. I'm always a freak. I'm always unwanted. I never have a place to call my own. And that's the story of my life. So right from the get-go, Shrek is kind of meeting people who are exactly like him, and I don't think he recognizes it. Yeah. He does not see how they are the same. He just sees this group of invaders into his privacy, ruining what he thought was going to be his big, bright, beautiful world. So he agrees, okay, I'm going to go talk to the king of Duloc, get you your homes back. And once you get your homes back, then you got to get out of my swamp so I can get back to life as normal, right? They're all very grateful. And along the way to Duloc, he gets lost and then runs into Donkey, who is currently kind of experiencing the similar fate of the other fairy tale creatures, which here's this donkey who can talk. So he's obviously a freak. He's obviously, you know, not good enough to be in Duloc. And so these guards are trying to banish him, drag him to jail, whatever. Shrek agrees to protect him as long as Donkey can get him to Duloc. Now, I know that you're a big Donkey fan.
I love it.
So, who is this guy and why do we love him?
Who is this guy is a wonderful, queer, incredible character that I just love. It makes me laugh. And it's so funny. And if there is ever a Shrek revival, I want to be Donkey. Just
putting it out there.
Yeah. Just to play with it. Because I think it's a character that can let you... And that is something that I really like about this type of musicals. Is that since it's a fairy tale, you can do whatever the hell you want. You can build your character as you want. And I really do think that Donkey embraces all this weirdish things from all of these characters, but it's like, I'm a talking donkey. What do you want? What else do you want from me? Like,
you're so right. Donkey can accept his strangeness and vulnerability in a way that Shrek cannot. And also, it's kind of second nature to him. He has no reason to try to be anything else because he knows exactly who he is.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a really good point.
I just love it. That character, and especially in the musicals, his songs are amazing.
Fantastic.
Daniel Breaker, who's the performer for the Pro Shot version, it just makes me laugh a lot. Right.
Oh, he's so great. Yeah. I mean, he was on a roll there for a little bit because he's also in the Pro Shot of Passing Strange, and he's the lead in that. And then also Donkey in this, both incredibly different projects, incredibly different characters. And he's absolutely brilliant in both of them. So like, more power to you, Daniel Breaker.
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit more about the Pro Shot because it's really well filmed. And it really shows off just how darn expensive this Broadway production was.
Yes.
I mean, when it opened, I think it was maybe one of the most expensive Broadway musicals ever. And despite it, like, running for a really healthy run and enjoying a lot of success, it didn't make back its money because it just cost so darn much money. I think it's been fine now because it's had a gajillion productions and...
Yeah.
And I'm sure my production of Shrek Jr. just really pushed it over the top. but I do want to give a shout out in this Pro Shot. The makeup is incredible.
Yes.
Brian D'Arcy James, who's the actor, an incredible Broadway actor, voice behind Shrek, has so much expression despite being completely covered with makeup and prosthetics. Daniel Breaker, Donkey, has incredible makeup. When Fiona actually does kind of go through her ogre transformation, like, it's all just so gorgeous and still humanizing.
Yeah,
you have these really tight close-ups and you still see every piece and ounce of emotion and behind their eyes. It's really beautiful.
Yeah, I do agree with you. And the costumes, the wardrobe department of that show must have been insane. Not only for the principals, but also for the cast and the ensemble, because they had so many changes. And also the scenic design and the pieces they were bringing on stage when they do Duloc's castle. This giant screen that does the mirror.
Magic mirror.
Yeah, the magic mirror. It's like, wow, I like
this.
They
created the animation for that. Like, it's really an impressive... feat, for sure. So I'm glad that they recorded it because nobody's going to be able to afford to do that ever again.
No, not ever. not ever. Unless you're, again, a big producing company like Disney.
Which, speaking of, did you know, I just saw this. I saw it on my Google search. I did not research to see if it's actually true. But as I read that as of last year, Disney ended up buying Shrek, like all of the Shrek films.
Really?
So if that's actually true, and it said that they paid $10 billion for all of the Shrek films, after like the first movie was made just to piss them off, like that's poetry.
Does this mean that Fiona is a Disney princess?
I mean, that is a great question.
Because... yeah, I could see that. Fiona being a Disney princess.
Like Fiona right next to Enchanted. What's her name? Giselle.
Yeah.
They could be sisters.
But you know that I also love that happens in the musical? They give a shout out to other musicals, including The Lion King.
Such a good point, Martin.
Yeah,
so true.
I actually love
that. The movie
that
has so many like little spoofy moments about Disney films.
Yeah.
Or just film in general. So then, of course, the stage version would need to have all of these little odes to musical theater. I love in Story of My Life when the mama bear goes, "Mama's in the mud, mama's in the dust." Like, doing her gypsy Rose's Turn thing. It's this long, and if you know it, you know it, and if you don't, like, it doesn't matter, but it's fantastic.
Or Farquaad doing Elphaba's high notes. It's just like, I love it.
Talk about Farquaad, because I'm not sure that there is a villain in musical theater that we love to love as much as Farquaad. And I didn't say love to hate. Like, I think we just love to love Farquaad, period.
This, I mean, he is so absurd that you just end up... Yeah, I do hate him, but because of the movie version, but because of the musical version, it's like, oh, you're a little dwarf. Let me hug this you.
Farquaad is... And, like, I just love how they've structured it, where he's, like, banishing all of the freaks. Once again, psychologically, out of his own, you know, denial of him being a dwarf. It's just, it's so fantastic. So we go to Duloc and we see this perfect place, you know, where everybody, what is that line in Things Are Looking Up here in Duloc? No one from the gutter in Duloc embraced the cookie cutter in Duloc. The upshot is enormous when you can shout conform us. Come on, that's brilliant writing. So now let's shout out David Lindsay Abair, who is the book writer and lyricist for this musical. Not always known for musicals. He's probably more well known for his Pulitzer Prize winning plays like Rabbit Hole and Good People. He does really profound, serious, often devastating works, and now here he is working on Shrek. I wish I had maybe found a quote or two from him that helped us to know even why he wanted to do this other than money.
I think it's because he was working with Miss Tesori, which he's doing again with Kimberly Akimbo, which the cast recording that was just released, it was just a joy to listen to.
I haven't listened to it yet because I want to see it first. I don't know if that's going to happen, but I really want it to. So Shrek and Donkey come to Duloc.
Yeah.
We meet Farquaad, who is he half dwarf or is he full dwarf? His father is one of like the seven dwarfs, essentially, right?
Yeah. I do may think he's a full dwarf. But
is he full?
Who knows?
Because they say he's a halfling, and I'm like, does that mean he's like half and half? I don't know. Anyway, he's this little fella played to the hilt by freaking Chris Sieber, and he's on his knees, for those who may not remember. He's on his knees, and then he has these like legs dangling in front of his knees, so it looks like he's just waddling everywhere. It's like when people wear a raptor costume. And it's so wonderful.
I still remember the first time I saw the pro shot. Like, I sat down and watched it completely. How
are they doing this?
Yeah, how are they doing this for Farquaad? And then a friend of mine that he's a really good art director. They're like, oh, it's obvious. He's on his knees. And the long cape is covering his legs. And I was like, wait, what? Really?
It's impressive. Like, yeah. It's and beautiful.
We paused it a lot of times. And I was like, but it's pitch black. And he was like, that is so smart.
It's so well designed.
And he has a lot, like a full movement on his knees.
We need to get Christopher Sieber, who, by the way, has done many a Broadway musical and like Spamalot, Triumph of Love. He's wonderful actor. We need to see check in on his cartilage, see how it's going. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Or to share the knee pads.
Exactly. Let's get that knee brand out there. I don't know why. Never mind. Yeah. That sounds like a dirty joke that I'm not going to go to. So they meet Lord Farquaad.
Yeah.
And Farquaad, in order to become like the true king of this kingdom, he needs to have a queen. Magic Mirror shows him his three contestants in kind of like a game show sort of way. They're like Snow White, Sleeping Beauty, Fiona. And he ends up picking Fiona, right? But in order to get Fiona, she's like in this tower. She's guarded by a fire-breathing dragon. There's like hot lava everywhere. He's like, oh, well, I'm definitely not going to do that. Donkey and Shrek show up. Now this like deal gets even more complicated by him saying, all right, well, I'll get you your swamp back, which means the creatures will be out of there if you'll help me by getting Fiona from the tower. So Shrek and Donkey go off to find Fiona. one of my favorite songs in the entire show, Travel Song.
Yeah,
it's the
so
one
good.
That will like be in my head when I wake up in the morning. I always wake, I don't know if you're like this, but whenever I wake up, I always have a song in my head every morning. And sometimes it's Shania Twain and sometimes it's, you know, Travel Song from Shrek. I have no rhyme or reason. They find their way to the castle. They run into the dragon. Everybody kind of knows this story because of the movie. The dragon, though, I find is really an interesting part of this musical because it's the thing that has changed the most. When the musical first premiered out of town at the Fifth Avenue Theater in Seattle, the dragon was one character, one person. And then when it moved to Broadway, and now as is reflected in the pro shot, it became three actresses.
There are three characters.
All voicing the dragon as kind of like this sick doo-wop trio with a huge, huge puppet. And then that changed again for the tour. And that song that's in the
really?
Pro shot got thrown out. And now it's this song called Forever, which actually slaps really hard. It's a really great song. And I'm sad that it's not on the original cast album. And it is just voiced by one person off stage and like a puppet on stage. You're gonna stay. Anyway, the dragon falls madly in love with Donkey. And so that becomes the distraction for Shrek to then go up and save Fiona. And yeah, if anybody can listen to that song Forever, it's great.
I need to look that up. Obviously, a lot of songs and scenes and stuff get cut from shows, from their out-of-town trials to the way to Broadway and then on tour. But I didn't know that. I need to look that up.
This is probably the piece of the show that has changed the most. Do you know what? I'm so sorry. We completely skipped Fiona, and I know it's today. My bad. My bad. Can we rewind real quick? Because back to my original thesis about what are the stories that we tell ourselves or are told to us, our introduction to Fiona is actually mini Fiona. And we see her in three different stages, the last one being fully adult son foster Fiona. And in each iteration, there is this little princess all alone in a tower, very much kind of like
reading fairy
almost
tales.
Like Shrek, alone in the swamp, right? The difference here is that she has been told that she must wait for someone to come rescue her. It's going to be her knight in shining armor, and she just has to be ready. So now it's this waiting game. And so then we see her as a teenager still waiting, and then her as an adult. And I think that maybe for me personally, like, I really connect to that. I grew up thinking I was going to get married to a woman and have kids. That was on the checklist thing. And then all of a sudden, it wasn't happening. And I had to like figure out why it wasn't happening. And that led me down like a whole, well, I guess my path, not just the path that somebody was telling me. And so I maybe that's why I'm so like sensitive to this part of the show, is I see all of these characters being told, this is your story. And then each one of them being awakened to, wow, this isn't going exactly how I was told it would be. Hey, listeners, I know in the past I've discussed my relationship with Taco Bell. I get done yelling at children at rehearsal, I get my app out, order, drive there, pick up the food, drive home. It still takes over 30 minutes. Well, Factor is a company that's going to solve all of those issues, except the children doing theater part. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, take that, Taco Bell, and ready to go in just 2 minutes. You have over 35 options every week to choose from, including Protein Plus and Keto options. Here's the thing, though. Factor delivers everywhere in the United States except for Hawaii and Alaska, which means I can't try it and I need you to do it for me. It's less expensive than takeout, and every meal is nutritious and delicious. Head to factormeals.com/musicaltheater50, that's musical theater with an ER, and use code musicaltheater50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code musicaltheater50 at factormeals.com/musicaltheater50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Get that deal, get that food, and let me know how it is. All right, so let's go back to This Is How a Dream Comes True. You said you love this number. Yeah. Why do you love this number so much?
The comedy in this number from Fiona. Again, going back to Sutton Foster. She is a mastermind in this craft. Mm-hmm. Like, she sings, she acts, she taps
her little face off.
She has just this timing thing. And the faces.
Like, she's such a goofball,
and
too.
What I love the most about Sutton Foster in this character specifically is she is playing it and enjoying it, enjoying every single second of being Fiona. That's why I just absolutely love Sutton Foster as Fiona.
Yeah, completely agree. You were talking about that pairing of David Lindsay Abaron and Janine Tesori. There's that pairing of Janine Tesori and Sutton Foster. Like, she seems to be kind of a muse for her in many ways because of, you know, Thoroughly Modern Millie and Violet and Shrek. I mean, they have such a huge working relationship together. That's like the really meaty plot stuff of the show. We can all kind of guess what happens as Shrek and Fiona get to know each other. They start to fall in love, first because of hate, and then and then actually because they realize they see each other in each other. But we have to stop to talk about the farting song, because it's probably the only time that this will ever happen on Broadway, and it's probably the only time it should ever happen on Broadway. But it happened, called I Think I Got You Beat, right? Anything you can do, I can do better. And it devolves into Shrek passing gas. And then Fiona's like, oh, you think you can gross me out? I'm going to gross you out. And this is part of each of their personalities. Like, Fiona grew up with a chamber pot. You know what I mean? And every morning she would boil it. Like, I just love that this princess is like, let's get down to it. I'm not afraid of this stuff.
Absolutely. Which also, it's amazing because she's breaking the stereotype of the princess, much a little bit like Mulan did for Disney in its time. But yeah, Fiona just being like, yo, honestly, we're going to have the conversation of just because you're an ogre, you're more creepy, dirtier, disgusting than I am. Maybe not.
Yeah,
and it's 100%. Just amazing. That was a whole 3-minute laugh watching it. It's one of my favorite parts of this whole musical.
And I'm sorry, if you think that like you're above farting being funny, you're not. It is.
It's always going to be funny.
The number of conversations I've had with other performers about times when like somebody's farted on stage and like, you have to keep a straight face even though your eyes are watering. You know, like those sorts of things just make me giggle beyond all measure. It's hilarious.
But let's talk about another of my favorite moments from this show is when three little funny characters appear on stage and it's the blind mice. I love them in the movie and in the show when they're singing Make a Move with Donkey. It's just like, hell yes.
Yeah, they become like his little backup trio, but of course they can't see because they're the three blind mice. It's pretty fantastic. So now this, as they're falling for each other and Donkey sees it and is like, come on, Shrek, step up to the plate. We then get the information which kind of changes everything, which is that every evening Fiona has to go away because she turns into an ogre.
Yeah,
this was a curse that was placed upon her that's supposed to be broken once she kisses her true love. And then she can, I think it's, she will take on true love's form.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of, and it's a brilliant plot device, which is like, that's what's really fueling her need to get married as well, and her need for this story to go exactly as is, because she's tired of being this ugly ogre for what, you know, as what she sees as an ugly ogre, and wants to get back to being this pretty princess that's in the stories.
Which is also the character development for Fiona realizing that she wasn't ugly just because she was an ogre, right? And where she thought she belonged was completely the opposite of where she truly belonged. And that ties back to the story that we are always telling ourselves, in which maybe we're so blinded by this story that we need, we feel the need to fulfill, that we don't let any space for any surprise to arise.
Yes.
I love sayings, but you don't always get what you want. You get what you need, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And that happens for both of these lead characters in the story.
Yeah, you get what you need. Other songs that we have to be sure to just give a shout out so that you can go listen to them if you think that, if you don't know the score well, Who I'd Be, which is gorgeous,
yeah,
at the end of the first act. Two songs for Shrek, When Words Fail and Build a Wall. You can kind of guess what those are about. Now let's go to Freak Flag, because this is probably one of the best songs in the entire show, and it's the fairy tale creatures getting kicked out of the swamp. Since Shrek has brought Lord Farquaad, Fiona, and they're engaged to be married, Farquaad has to be true to his word and get the fairy tale creatures kicked out of there. So now they have nowhere to go. In the pro shot, Freak Flag comes out of the fairy tale creatures trying to build up Pinocchio, who feels like he'll never be a true boy. I believe that has now been edited to all of the fairy tale creatures singing Freak Flag to Shrek.
Oh.
Which I think is better in many ways, because it feel everything about the show feels so Shrek oriented, and then we come to this incredible song, but it's all geared toward Pinocchio.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's the case in all of the productions, but I do like that shift. And Freak Flag is really all of these creatures saying, "Let your freak flag wave." It feels like a queer anthem. It feels like, you know, just kind of the empowering moment that we all need to hear sometimes. What makes you special makes you strong. It just gives me the feels. I love that song so much.
Yeah. And it actually is like this big cry for grab the bull by its horns and take the lead on your life, right? But now not on the lead characters, but on the freaks, on the other fairy tale characters that are like, we've been moved from quote unquote home twice.
Yeah.
We can also take place, allow ourselves to take up space. Right.
Yeah.
Which
and not
I
just
actually
wait
really
for
love.
Someone to come save us, like in the same way, like you're saying, something that Fiona learned as well.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a really, really good song. Obviously happens right before the wedding scenes. It's a good song.
Let's go to that wedding scene, because Fiona is all ready to marry Lord Farquaad. She's trying to hurry it along because the longer that they take to get to the I do's, the sun is setting and she's going to turn into an ogre. So like we're really racing against the clock here. Mm-hmm. And right as they both get done saying I do, Shrek comes in and says like, stop the wedding, because Donkey has convinced him like, you need to go get what you want.
Yeah.
And are you going to be this type of character in your story? No, you're not. You're going to be the hero. Go be a hero. Anyway, he finally expresses his heart in a reprise of Big Bright Beautiful World. He finally is able to see the purity of how beautiful the world can be, especially if you let love in. And, which is just so sweet. I'm not even going to read those lyrics because they make me cry. But it touches Fiona in a way that allows her to see his heart, and also just makes everything so late that the sun finally sets and she turns into an ogre. Farquaad freaks out, right? Because he's like, I've married this freak. I'm going to lock you in a tower. Enter all of the fairy tale creatures who have also taken their stories into their hands and have brought Farquaad's father to the wedding to prove that he is a freak just like the rest of them.
Yeah. And that's where we discover that he's a child of Grumpy, Bumpy, Nosy, I don't know, but
one of them.
Yeah.
And it was brought to my attention, like, why are we okay with making fun of Farquaad because he's different when we're not supposed to make fun of everybody else for their differences? And I think for me, the reason there's so much comedy that comes from Farquaad is because he's walking around like he's not a freak. You know what I mean?
I agree with you.
limiting the freedoms of all of the other quote-unquote freaks while being in complete denial about his own. And so that denial is, I think, what's hilarious.
Yeah, and that's why it's so funny. I didn't remember until I re-watched the pro shot that he was one of the dwarves' kid. And it was so funny because it's like, you really tried to hide that you were one of them from the start.
Yeah.
And yeah. And it's
no,
funny
the self-loathing.
Ties, yeah, exactly. And I think that if he just embraced that rareness, he wouldn't be so funny. And maybe we would have hated him because he is not just denying it, but pushing what he is even further than this, like, quote unquote, dumb denial of I'm the king, but also I'm a dwarf.
Interesting. Yeah. It also just makes me question any time that somebody tries to limit the freedoms of a quote unquote other or a disenfranchised minority or, you know, whatever it may be. It makes me really question what kind of self-loathing is going on in that person.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's all because of Lord Farquaad. Truly. All right. Well, how things go is that Farquaad is destroyed, not by the revelation of his lineage, but by the dragon, which Donkey brings because they have, you know, of course, fallen in love. And so the dragon destroys Lord Farquaad. Princess Fiona and Shrek smooch, and True Love's kiss turns her into True Love's form, which is the ogre. And so she stays the ogre, and he's like, Fiona, are you okay? And she goes, I don't understand. I'm supposed to be beautiful. And he says, but you are beautiful. Cue
beautiful
song.
Isn't always pretty.
Oh my gosh. It's so perfect. And then the song that ends the whole show, This Is Our Story, is really the opportunity for everybody to write the story that they need to be living from the get-go. We are ogres. We are scary. We're donkeys. We're hairy. Like, we're hobbits with bad habits. So many fun little clever lyrics about these characters owning who they actually are. It's great storytelling, and it's different than the movie, and it's theatrical, and it's musical.
Absolutely, because in the movie, it's just like this. I've said it before, I love the movie, but the musical enhances this belonging theme and this, like, empowerment to oneself of be in charge of your story, and that is what the musical does for me. It's not only the love between two ogres or a donkey and a dragon or bringing down a tyrannic dwarf, right? It's about finding the place where we belong and being true to what we are and who we are.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Martine, thank you so much for doing this with me. What fun I've had.
Oh, me
I really
too.
Appreciate it.
It's been amazing.
And I would love to see this show with someone like you, because I know that I would enjoy what's going on stage, but I think I would enjoy even more seeing it through your eyes, because I know you'd be having a ball.
We need to watch the pro shot together at some point, because we're going to laugh.
As always, if you have recommendations for shows you'd like us to cover on A Musical Theater Podcast, just like our pals Casey and Marty, make sure to email me at amusicalpodcast@gmail.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media. We're on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, at A Musical Podcast. If you want to support the regular feed, you can always subscribe to Patreon exclamation point, which is our Patreon account for only $1 a month. On top of supporting the regular show, you also get bonus episodes. What else? We have our Tee Public store with lots of great designs, the profits of which benefit Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS. More than anything, I'm so grateful you're a part of this podcasting community. Hey, Martin Acuna, how do we follow you and everything you're up to?
So you can follow my personal adventures on TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, at the Martin Acuna, A-C-U-N-A. It's my last name, but with an N instead of an Ñ. So yeah, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, That's my personals. But for my podcast, you can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at Backstage Talk Pod, I interview a lot of people and we talk about Broadway, musical theater, and all that good stuff.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for being on the show. I appreciate you and all you stand for. Everybody out there, thank you for listening. And remember, let your freak flag wave.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let your freak flag wave. Down. Yeah. I hope I haven't done like copyright infringement with this episode because I've had to sing most of the score and it's too fun.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.